السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. I was reading one article earlier on, was sent out by the Jamiat Ulama KZN. So that article was titled The Sufra. So generally we say Dastarkhan for the cloth that we put down when we're having our meals. But in Arabic it is called a Sufra. So one of the things mentioned in that article said that this word Sufra, it comes from Safar. Safar means journey. Musafir is a person who is on a journey. So the sabak there, the lesson there, is that even when we sit down to eat, so we take an ibrat that we are on a journey. We are on a journey, we are moving. The other thing mentioned in that article is that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never ate at a table. His whole life, he never sat at the table and partook of meals. He always sat down. And then when a person sits down and partakes of the meals, then automatically he doesn't overeat. Because already his stomach is pressed because he's sitting down. Whereas if you sit on the table and chair, so now your stomach is more stretched out, then pack more inside. But the various things were mentioned in that article, but something that really made me ponder, one of the things was, they said that the Sufra, the Dastarkhan, it is not limited. Unlike a dining room table now, if you got a 6-seater or an 8-seater dining room table, that's it. That's the amount of people you can fit there. You can't fit more than that. Now you may be able to squeeze on two children here and there with one stool, but that's about it. But the Dastarkhan, it has no limit. You just join another piece of cloth. If the Dastarkhan is full, you join another piece of cloth. Then there's nobody that sits at the head of the table. Everybody is equal on a Dastarkhan. Whereas on a table, then you get somebody who's sitting at the head of the table. But then they mention there that you see the Sufra, it defines our life. They mention in that article, he said, they see, our pious predecessors, referring to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Tabi'een, Tab'u Tabi'een, and وَمَن تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, whoever followed in their footsteps. So, they never had a dining room table. The same room, tahajjud time, they were reading their tahajjud namaz in that room. Then, the same room, you put the Dastarkhan down, you partook of your meals. The same room, you folded the Dastarkhan up, you entertained your guests. The same room, you put everything else away, you opened out your bedding, and that was your place to sleep. So they mentioned so beautifully, he said that a room was used for whatever purpose it needed to be used. It was not defined by a piece of furniture. Every room was used, whatever purpose you needed it for, it was used for that purpose. It wasn't defined by a piece of furniture. Now that is the lounge now. This is the dining room. This is that. And you know, really, if you really think about it, how many people spend time in the lounge. Now when one visitor comes, so you will sit in the lounge. The rest of the time, maybe the jinnats are enjoying the lounge suite too as they're sitting there. Where's the time to sit and lounge in the lounge? Very few people got time to sit and lounge in the lounge. And today, where are we even entertaining? Where are we even entertaining? Even we have a family get together, it must be in some park somewhere. Don't come make my house in a park. Go sit in a park. So everything is out. But the one room now is allocated just for that. For that occasional visitor that may come. Dining room, lounge, and this is this kind of room, and that is this room, and that room. So beautifully mentioned that a room was used for whatever purpose it was required for. It wasn't defined by a piece of furniture. So we have adopted this life, you know, this kufar way of life. And when we have adopted that way of life, then all that goes with that way of life is happening to us. Today parents complain that children got no time for the parents. That is a sour fruit of that same tree. In the old days, we never had that problem. Children obeyed their parents. Children didn't back answer the parents. Children listened to the elders. Every elder in the town was your elder. Any elder could tell you anything. You had to just keep quiet. But in the non-Muslim communities, it wasn't like that. But when we have adopted their way of life, then those same things have come into our communities. Now our daughters too are running away with boys. You don't want to get me married to him, I'll go. Our daughters too are doing the same thing. Our sons are going and finding, they already got their girlfriend. Today's time, how many people are going to look for girls for their children, for their sons? The odd few. Most of them, they're already courting, they're already going out. They're just coming to inform the parents now. Let's see, I want to get married now, I got somebody. Can we go and eat samosas there? But he already finished eat samosas. Lord samosas there, he finished it. But now, we just go officially with the parents to like save face and just do things officially. That was how kuffar did things. Muslims never did things like that. But when we adopted that lifestyle, so now it goes with everything. Everything, you take the whole package. You take the whole package, goes away like that. And we are such suckers for this kuffar way of life. It's not funny anymore. You know, because one, two youngsters, they talk, you know. So upset they are. I mentioned this thing, they're upset about the World Cup. You know, say, oh, they oppressed the Muslim side and they did this and they did that. And the whole thing is rigged. And so I told him, very good. They were more upset with me. I said, yeah, very good that Muslim side lost. Very good. At least they're out of this haram now. They're not in that. So they got more angry with me. So then I asked him, I said, see, you're getting upset. But did you stop watching? You're saying this thing is rigged and it's this and they made oppression on the Muslim side and they robbed them and this. So if they are a bunch of robbers, bunch of rogues, bunch of cheats, did you stop watching? So now it's quiet. I said, no, if there's such a cheat, no, so deceitful, cheating people, then you're still watching. That means that all those matches are a lie, because all the whole thing is fixed, right? So it's a lie. So how come you're still watching the lies? That's why I say we are suckers for what the, in the words of Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, we lick what they spew. What they spew out, we lick it. So everything of their life, when we have adopted that ways and that culture, we want that style, we want our businesses to be like that, our homes to be like that, so all the sicknesses of that life also, is we finding it in the ummah also. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So we were discussing these questions. So we discussed that who is a gharib, who is a poor person. So a poor person is one who has got no qana'at, he got no contentment. So qana'at is the direct opposite of greed, of hirs. One side is greed, one side is contentment. So that person who has greed, he can't be wealthy. No matter how much money he got, but he can't be wealthy. Because he considers himself to be in need. Because of his greed, he considers himself all the time to be in need. The person who is content, he's got qana'at, even though he doesn't have a penny by him, but he's not poor. Because if you ask him, well, you need anything? No, I don't do it. So he's got no needs. He sorted out. So he's not poor. He's got the wealth of qana'at. So whatever kind house he's living in, he's happy with it. Whatever food he's eating, he's content with it. Whatever clothing he got, he's content with it. Whatever rozi Allah Ta'ala has given him, he's content with it. The only thing he's not content with is his connection with Allah Ta'ala. The ibadah that he's making for Allah Ta'ala, his ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, his love for Allah Ta'ala, there he's not content, there he's pushing himself all the time. I need to do more, I have to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, I have to develop more love for Allah Ta'ala. But when it comes to material things, when it comes to desires, when it comes to nafsani things, etc., he is content. How Allah Ta'ala has kept me, I'm content with that. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that let us ponder, despite possessing material wealth, one is still filled with greed. With greed, with hirs, with tamah. So what kind of richness is that? You find a person, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him, right? He's got maybe a good job, he's got a good business or whatever, and he's still stealing. Still stealing, usurping people's rights, cheating the books, robbing the inheritance. Why is he doing that? Because there is hirs, there is greed, cheating his customer, cheating the client, whatever it may be, there's hirs. Richness, ghina, is a quality that is connected with the heart. It's a quality that is connected with the heart, not with one's outside condition. One speaks about a big-hearted person. It's a person is big-hearted, meaning that this person is generous. He's got a big heart, he's got a large heart. That means he's a generous person. Indicating richness to be connected with a person's heart. So ghina is a praiseworthy quality. It's a praiseworthy quality. Right? Akhlaqi hamida, which are connected with the heart. The heart is the seat of a number of praiseworthy qualities. Ghina is just one of them. On the other hand, tama, hirs, tama, greed. This is from the raza'il, akhlaqi razila, which is connected with the nafs. Similarly, qana'at is also from the akhlaqi hamida, connected with the heart, whereas hirs is from the raza'il, akhlaqi razila, is connected with the nafs. The person with hirs is obsessed. Whatever his greed is for, he becomes obsessed with that thing. This is why you will find in many kitabs where the raza'il is discussed, the akhlaqi razila, or the evil qualities. So generally, hirs is discussed first. Hirs, greed is discussed first. And the mashayikh say that if you look at any evil quality in a person, it comes about because of greed. If a person is committing zina, he has got a greed, shahwat. He's got a greed in that department. If a person is seeking fame, then he's got a greed for fame. A person is stealing, is usurping, he's got a greed for wealth. So greed is the underlying problem. Whatever the evil may be, greed is the underlying problem. The person with greed is obsessed. He's obsessed. He thinks of nothing else day and night. Day and night, this is his fikr now. Whatever his greed is for, that's the only thing that goes through his mind. Desiring, if his greed is for wealth, now he wants the wealth, must double, must treble. He got no qanaat, no contentment. The person with qanaat is at the opposite pole, like North Pole and South Pole. He avoids haram wealth. He doesn't look with eyes of desire at other people's wealth. He's happy for them. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with, he's happy with them. He doesn't look at it with bad eyes now. He is contented. He makes sabr. Whatever Allah has provided him, he makes sabr on that. Even if it is meager. Meager possessions also he got. He makes sabr. Thus, the opposite of hirs is qanaat, and the opposite of gharib is ghina. So this discussion on the four questions asked by Baba Fariduddin Shakkar Ganj Rahmatullah Ali is part of this discussion of mu'asharat. This whole majlis is with regards to mu'asharat. That person who is an aqil, is akalman, is intelligent, he has the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, then his mu'asharat is made. He is living. Living with people, interacting with people, this is made. He will not give people taklif. He will not cause taklif to anybody. That person who is hoshyar, we discussed this term hoshyar. So he is not perturbed by any situation. Whatever happens, he's not perturbed by it. That person who has no tama, he has got ghina, he has got no avarice in him, he possesses richness, his mu'asharat is me. Because he's not in competition with anybody, so he's not going to be jealous of anybody, he doesn't have to have ego problems in him, nothing. He'll be humble. He's content. He has got ghina in his heart. Such a person within himself has attained the status of sabr. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanusbiru, that O you who have brought iman, sabr, we confine it to a very, very, you know, we give it a very confined meaning. Somebody passed away, you must make sabr. You lost something, make sabr. No. This word sabr is not only patience. Sabr means to be able to endure. Sabr means to be able to endure. That if a difficulty comes my way, a hardship comes my way, I must be able to endure it. This is sabr. So, O Mu'mineen, if some personal difficulty befalls you, one which causes you fear and anxiety, some illness, a shortfall of money, then isbiru, endure it, isbiru, remain steadfast, don't become pareshan, remain steadfast, do not become frightened. These are expected worldly problems. Allah Ta'ala has told us, I'm going to test you. Different tests are going to come your way. So why are you becoming so perturbed, so worried? Isbiru, endure it. Living in this world, how can you expect problems not to arise? Problems will arise. This is the dunya. Problems must come. Whether it is in the form of marching and looting, or khianat, leaders making khianat, whatever it may be, loss of wealth, loss of possessions, problems will come in the dunya. What type of false hope is that? That I am expecting I'm not going to get no problems. Everything will just run smoothly for me. So when a difficulty arises, isbiru. Endure it. Do not be crushed. Endure it. These are difficulties of a personal nature. So when difficulties of a personal nature come, isbiru. Endure. On the other hand, you may encounter difficulties from others. Difficulties from others. Somebody is giving you taklif. Somebody is causing some problem for you. In that situation, sabiru. Allah Ta'ala says sabiru. Now sabiru, outdo others in endurance. You get a person, you say, no. You hear this lot in schools and madrasas and all of that. You know? And sometimes you hear it when you're dealing with marital cases too. The husband, if he became vulgar or worse, he became physically abusive or something. So, but why, how could you? Mona, you know, I kept quiet. She's not listening. Going on and on. She knows which buttons to press. No? So I was keeping quiet. I told her also keep quiet. I told her leave me alone. I went and took my vape too, but she's still coming behind me. She's still... Then I just lost it. You know, Mona, I just lost it, man. But I asked her for maaf after that. But I lost it. So that lost it, that means we lost making amal on this sabiru. Sabiru, no matter how much that person is troubling me, I need to outdo him. I must outdo him with my endurance. No matter what taklif is coming, I must outdo. So sabiru. So one is isbiru, personal difficulties within yourself, money ran short, this happened, that happened. Isbiru, endure. Don't get crushed. Allah Ta'ala is there, isbiru. Allah will take you out of this thing. Right? This isbiru. Somebody else giving me taklif, somebody else troubling me. Sabiru. Now I must outdo. No matter how much taklif that person is giving, I must outdo him in my endurance. Not to prove a point to him, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. For the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Sabiru. Wa rabitu. Now rabitu, what is this now? So let's first finish this. So even if others are giving us taklif, others are doing things that is not to our liking, etc., then to Do not be frightened by their opposition. Be courageous. Remain with istiqamat. Do not lose your composure. Don't lose our composure. Sabiru. Sabiru. When the husband started swearing the wife, that means he lost his composure. When the person retaliated, he lost his composure. Hazrat Magda Sahib, Naam Barakatuh, always he mentions this. So he cut in front of you. Why you looked at him? Why you looked at him? If he saw you, why you want to sway him back? Why you want to look? Sabiru, you just carry on. Do you remain on track? You carry on. Sabiru. So this is when something goes against our temperament, and sometimes can be from our own children also, can be from your own siblings also. When something is done to us by an outsider, it's easier to swallow. But when the taklif is caused from people very close to you, now this is very difficult, very difficult. Because from those quarters, you are expecting muhabbat, you are expecting understanding, you are expecting compassion. A parent expects his children to be obedient to him. He expects the children to be caring. He expects the children to have some adab, some respect. But now the children are not behaving in that manner. He has given them the correct upbringing. He did everything, gave them the correct upbringing, but they are not behaving in that manner. So now, sabiru, no need to get upset, no need to get so angry. The time to make the tarbiyat is over. When they were little children, you had to make the tarbiyat. Now they are adults. Now we're going to lock horns now. You can't lock horns now. So with hikmat, you'll still give some nasihat, but you'll maintain your composure. You won't lose it. The parent will still act as a parent. The parent will still act as a parent, will not lose composure. No matter what the child does. No matter what the child does. No matter what the wife does, no matter what the siblings do, sabiru, remain steadfast. Do not be overcome. It's a very, very important thing. Don't lose ourselves. Don't lose ourselves. A person sometimes, he puts his ghusa in the front, you know. You feel, no, I'll just shout them all down. No, I can fight, I can do this. That means I lost my composure. I lost my composure. In that losing of the composure, can lose lot of things. Lot of things can get lost. Marriages sometimes, now you just blurt out talaqs. Hazrat Muhammad Al-Haq Magda Sahib, he says sometimes the father gets so upset with the child, right? So he says that, get out of my house. Get out of my house. I said, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. The end of the day is still your child. If that child goes out of the house, and the child goes off the track, off the rails, who's going to make Isale Sawab for us when our eyes close back? This is our investments here. The person is running his shop. Now the market is a little bit off. The products that he is selling, or the manner in which he is marketing, not producing the sales. So what does he do? Does he kick the whole business? No, he starts thinking now. How I can turn this thing around? What products I can put inside here? What I can do differently that it can pick up my sales. Why? Because there he understands the value of rands and cents. we don't understand the value of pious olad. We don't understand the value of pious olad. That's why we don't make it our mission in life that I must leave behind pious children. No, our mission in life is I must leave my children behind rich, wealthy. Everybody must see how I made it. We're not worried about the children so much. But everybody must see how successful I was. And see, I left them all in a good wicket. I did well. My children are doing well. That becomes a fikr. But we're not thinking that I must leave behind a pious child. So this pious child is my asset. And the children also are not thinking like that. That my mother carried me, my father looked after me. The least I can do is be pious. How else am I going to repay them? If I am pious, that will be in their bank balance in the akhirat. Because we don't understand the value of sawab. We understand the value of rands and cents. So the business we'll see now, how to turn it around, what to do, apply our minds, do this, do that. But the child is going off, yeah, get out of my house, go. Leave the house, go. Hazrat mentioned, don't ever do that. If the person is in that nasha of his, right? Generally this happens in the late teens, early adult life. Now, the sons especially, no, they think they want too clever now. They know everything. They can teach the father one, two things. Everything they know. So at that time, then you start locking horns now. And sometimes, or if you know it all, go. Offend for yourself, now go. Now if that person is thinking he's not right, now what's going to happen to him when he goes out? What will happen to him when he goes out? Now, if you are patient with him, don't even expect him to appreciate it. Because he's too foolish to even recognize that he needs to appreciate. He's too nadan, he's too foolish to recognize what a great favor of my father is on me, that he just made sabr on me and he continued. Yeah. When he becomes a father, see, when he got years behind him, maybe you won't even be around to see it. Maybe you would have passed away. You won't be around to see it. Then he will realize. You know, one person put very beautifully. He said, you will not appreciate your mother. Even when you become a father. That means you'll see your wife, right, having a child, and all the difficulties that she's going through, feeding the child, changing the child, cleaning the mess of the child, whatever. Then too you won't appreciate your mother. You'll appreciate your mother when you see your daughter doing it. When you see your daughter doing it, then you'll appreciate your mother. So sometimes the son too, he won't be, he's too nadan to appreciate the father's kindness, the father's generosity, is too nadan. He's too nadan to appreciate the scolding of the father. The reprimand of the father is too nadan to appreciate it. One day when the father is not there to scold, the mother is not there to guide, then the child will sit with their head in their hands, but then they'll remember their advices. Then now you may not be alive to see it, but the dividends will get paid. You'll collect the dividends in the book of deeds. It will pay off there. The other thing is, just want to touch on it 2 minutes. As I said, when we adopt this kuffar lifestyle, then all the jarasim, all the germs, the poison of their lifestyle, it comes in our life. We never saw our mothers, our grannies, our khalas, our aunties, and we never ever saw them. I don't understand this new couple. They go for so many classes, they buy so many prams, they do so many things, but they get one child. They get one child, husband is in the front seat, wife is in the back seat. As soon as she becomes a mother, she gets demoted to the back seat. They say, no, the baby now, they have to look after the baby in the back seat. Where that thing came from? They say, no, she must look after the baby. Then, the baby is crying in the night. No, the wife must take the baby, go in another room. Because Seth Saab, he needs to sleep. I need to go to work tomorrow. So she don't have to go to work. She doesn't have to wake up. Her work is in the house. It's just that you're going out and she's in the house. What kind of men this is? You want a child. You want the joy of having a child. But you don't want to look after your own child. The child is crying in the night. No, you take the child, go another room. This kind of husbands, they need a little bit. Their father never give them one, two shots when they were small. That's why they behave like this. I don't know where all this mentality, all this kufar mentality this is. It's not Muslim mentality. If the child is crying, so what? The child will cry. You are the father. You too must be able to handle the crying baby. Not the wife must take the child, go in another room. The problem is the takabbur. The takabbur of the husband. What you are short of? Who made you be able to provide for the wife? You? No. Allah Ta'ala. I need to rest. She is also busy whole day. He comes home in the evening. No. Everybody must work around him. He can't do nothing because he is very busy. Everybody else is doing what? Retired. They're also busy. Everybody else is busy too. This mentality comes with this kuffar mindset. In London, we saw this thing. They don't go home. After they finish, then they go sit in the pub. Then late, they go home. Our men, after they finish, they're going to the paddle court, having coffee and having this and that. And then they're going home. Now, when I come home to, I'm very tired now. I need to de-stress and this and that. So the wife, how she's going to de-stress? So this all is not our lifestyle, man. Not our lifestyle. And the ladies also, I don't know, they must go for what? Prams and... They have all funny things these days, man. Will bring your pram and your baby and come to the park. If they just sat under the wing of their granny or their mother-in-law, everything they would have learnt. But no, that ta'lim which is coming for free and which will be full of noor and barkat and concern, that they don't want to learn. They must go and sit there in the park with the prams and listen to one person giving some and pay money. And go, as long as it's an outing and a party, we'll be very happy about this. Mums and pots and I don't know what and what. Sometimes I wonder why they need BMW badge on the pram, Ferrari kind pram, this kind pram. A pram is a pram. But now we have to go and, like how the husband, he's going to show his. Now she must go pushing her pram. See what kind pram I got. What is all this lifestyle? All this we bring in our life, we're just creating nahusat for ourselves. We were simple people, Simple, we got a simple deen. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of simplicity, the sunnah full of simplicity. Where we bring all these things in our life? Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ijtima also is coming up. We all make dua for the ijtima. Go to the ijtima site, make dua, tell our women folk, children, everybody make dua. Allah ta'ala make it a means of hidayat. Jamaats will be moving around. Make nusrat of the jamaats, try and join wherever we can. Allah ta'ala accept.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Our time, men never change nappies. We don't know about changing nappies and all that. Today's time, the men, they're changing nappies. But then they put the wife in the back seat too, and send her to another room too. One side they're changing nappies. One side the husband and wife, they're sharing the feeding. The other day somebody told me one story, he said that husband bought 12 milk bottles. 12 milk bottles. So he put a formula in all the bottles, put in the fridge. So every feed now, you just have to take out warm milk. I don't know what's all this thing. Ajeeb, ajeeb, but you hear this new generation, what they are doing. You think, hey, where all this came from in our lives? Allah Ta'ala protect. Allah Ta'ala protect. Just stay simple. Stay simple. You'll be peaceful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.